I call your attention this morning to the gospel. To the gospel message this morning, we will turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Those of you that have your Bibles, would you please stand? While you're standing, repeat the motto of the church. The motto of People's Community Church is to disciple the church and the unchurch through biblical preaching, teaching, and outreach ministry that will help to heal the hurting. Amen. I praise God. I don't think I only saw a few people trying to read. Still get an A. No, you just came up to an A because we got some new people then they didn't know. Kind of brought our grade down. But that's all right. So we call your attention to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Those of you that have your Bibles, for your hearing now and for the expedition of this sermon, we will only read verse 6, which is my key verse. And it says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." We will use for a theme this morning, and you may be seated. Here comes the judge.
Peace, brother.
Uh-oh, here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Everybody know that he is the judge.
I thought that would bring back to some of you our remembrance. When Pig Meat Markham say, "Here comes the judge, here comes the judge." And then he say, "Order in the court, order in the court." And one lady say, "I got an order." Y'all don't get that. I thought that would wake you up. Here comes the judge. When we look at judging people, forming judgment is an inescapable function. We have the highly educated continue to judge people who are not so well educated. We have the churched people judging people who are unchurched. We have people with freedom continue to judging the people who are in prison. And we have our politicians that have turned our political, they have reached a new low in our political debates. It's no more about the issues. It's only about judging people and criticism. So I often wonder what would happen if that got you in office, and what are you going to do when you have to do some work to deal with some issues? But there's a problem in judging. There's a problem in going around judging people. The problem is unless we have walked in their shoes, come on now, unless we have some clear understanding. That's what Jesus is talking about in our lesson text today about judging. So as we walk through our lesson text, today I will teach that we engage in merciless judgment, we deny ourselves God's mercy. When we engage in merciless judgment, we deny God our judgment. In each judgment, one reveals his own standards of value. So we will use 3 points this morning. Don't condemn others, verses 1 through 2. Correct yourself, verses 3 through 5. And the issue of acceptance, verse number 6. When we look at our lesson text here this morning, and when we look at this entire Sermon on the Mountain here, when we look at starting at verse 7, and by the way, I hear so many people misquote this scripture. Not only lay people, but clergy as well. The Bible here says, judge not that ye will not be judged. Now let me just clear this up, because what Jesus is teaching here is not that we don't judge folk. So you need to stop saying that. But we judge people by the same judgment that we judge ourselves by. The same standards that you use to judge others is the same standard that you judge yourself by. That's what the problem is. And that's when we get into too many hypocritical judgments, that we don't judge people by the same standard that we judge others. And then verse 2 say, for with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with that measure ye meet and shall be measured to your own gain. In other words, when you judge other people with the same measure that you judge them with, you will be judged with that same measure yourself. So that's something that we need to understand, is that measure, whatever standard that is, whatever judging you are judging other people by. And let me just make this understanding, because condemning people, when you condemn someone, you've already deemed them guilty and you've already sentenced them. So when we start to condemn people, we need to be very, very careful, because we've already sentenced them and we've already given out the punishment that they would receive for the thing that we are doing when we judge them. So the Bible is letting us know, whatever measure, whatever standard that you're using to put folk down, you're going to put your own self down with that. So we see here that even when Nathan came to David, and David talked about what all he was going to do with that man that had done the things that Nathan told him about, that was the same thing that David was judged by himself. So we have to be careful when we issue out that punishment of judging people and being there to condemn people and punish them and being unfair. And then when we look at verse 3, and it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? When we start judging folk with blurred vision, help me somebody. Jesus is letting us know. He says it plainly, and he says, and behold, that the mote, this is a small, it's like a straw, a small something that's in another person's eye. Uh-huh. You are judging them by that, but you can't see clearly, because you got this big beam, one of these big beams in your eye. So it gives you blurred, you don't have clear vision as to how to judge, because you can't see clearly. And that's why you need to watch yourself when you start judging folks with blurred vision and not able to see the whole person or the whole thing that happens to people. Before we start putting people down, we need to understand why they are down. And we also need to understand it ain't but one check before we can be down. Are y'all out there? So the Bible is letting us know to be very careful. He's letting us know we need to get that mote. We need to get that beam out of our eye before we start judging people. And it says, and how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eyes, and behold the beam that is in thy own eye. You know, we have a policy in our substance abuse recovery ministry. If somebody wants to come to share their testimony, they at least ought to have 10 years clean time. Because without that kind of clean time, you're not ready to tell people how to be delivered from the effects of chemical dependency. Some people just have stopped using drugs. They just got a dry drunk. They just waiting for the next opportunity to use. But you see, they are not ready. See, the walking wounded can only do ministry. The wounded, the walking wounded rather can't do ministry, but it's the wounded healers that can do ministry. And we have too many people out there that are walking wounded and they are trying to help folk when they ought to be seeking some help for their own self. Oh, y'all mighty quiet on me this morning. You're mighty quiet. So that's what he said. Before you try to, and see, this thing is therapeutic here. It's talking about how will thou say to thy brother? How you going to say to somebody, let me help you, and you need help yourself? That's what it's saying. Let me help you. Let me tell you. Tell me what? That's why so many parents, you know, in The Virtuous Woman, it says that when the kids grew up, they called their mother blessed. When you start telling your children stuff that they don't want to hear, you know, you have to reap what you sow. And when you start telling your children stuff and they start telling stuff back to you, hello, it's reaping time. Am I right about it? It's reaping time. You have to watch it when you start giving folks instructions, and you need instructions yourself. If you live in a glass house, don't throw stones. Don't tell me about my children and your children out of order. I mean, it's all right to tell me. Oh, y'all know I'm meddling. It said, how are you going to go to a person to get that mote out of their eye, and you got a view, you can't even see them because you blinded by that big beam in your eye. You can't see them. You can't see clearly. And that's why we have so many people that are doing bad judgment. I don't know if it's deductive or inductive. Inductive is when you go from specific to general, but most of us do this deductive reasoning when we make a general statement and then we put everybody up under that. Y'all get me? When we say all black men wear red jackets, Reverend Shannon got a red jacket, so he's a black man. No, that may not be true. I may not have a red jacket. But if you say Reverend Shannon got a red jacket and he wears it, and then he say some men wear red jackets, then you're going from specific to general. If you don't understand that, call me during the week and I'll explain it to you. But we got this bad logic. We got this misunderstanding as how we are going to help folk and talk about folk and put folk down in the church and say things and don't have all the facts. Let me tell you why you can't condemn folk. Now, y'all wake up and write this down. First of all, you not God. Hello. First of all, you not God. The next thing is like my daughter said sometime to me, you not the boss of me. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, I'm the boss of you. Am I right about it? And then, condemning folk, you too soon to condemn. Because condemning belongs to Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you about that later. You're too early to start condemning folk. You're too early to go around, oh, she not saved. How you know who's saved and who's not saved? Reverend Shannon had her own program and she ain't even saved. How you know? You not God. You can't condemn. You're not the master of other people. Condemnation is saved for God. That's the thing that we need to understand. And then it says in that verse 5, it says, thou hypocrite. Thou hypocrite is a person who's playing in a play, a play actor, a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a person that has a mask on so you can't see who they are. That's a hypocrite. A person who says one thing and do another. A hypocrite. And the thing that I don't like about hypocrites is they're everywhere. Everywhere I go, I keep running into them. I don't care if I go to the store, I run into them. If I go to the shopping center, I run into them. And the bad thing about it, and the sad thing, I come into the church and I run into hypocrites, play acting, folk with masks on. Got the church face on. And the minute they get out the church and get in the car, if you go across them, you ain't gonna be no glory fingers you gonna see. Y'all know I'm right. But we need to correct ourselves before we start correcting other folk. Now I get to my main scripture here. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swines, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. You see, pigs and dogs were hated by the Jews because they felt that they were unclean. So what this is saying here, but this is letting you know that you don't give holy things to people who are unholy. Am I right about it? You know, the first thing we have to do is to help people become godly. Now, you all wake up and write this down. The people that come to Bible study, they understand this point. Ungodly folk will do unrighteous things. Hello. Godly folk will do righteous things. Are y'all with me? But you see, we keep on talking to ungodly folk about doing righteous. You can't talk to an ungodly folk about tithing in the church. You can't talk to an ungodly person about commitment to come to church. We keep on trying to put this round peg in a square hole. We keep on talking to ungodly folk. Yeah, Reverend Shannon, I'm going to marry him. He say he's a Christian, but he don't come to church. He's still smoking dope, and I think I can change him. God grant me the serenity to accept some things I can't change, the wisdom to know the difference. And God, I'm going to pray that you will help me to understand it, the courage to know the difference, Lord. Help me. Somebody. When we look at this thing about don't give holy things unto unholy people. See, that's what they're talking about. He's talking about, and he's not talking about Gentiles here. He's just talking about unholy people that they're referring to as dogs. Stop arguing with unbelievers about the word of God. You believe it, that's God said it, and that's it. Stop arguing with unbelievers about the things. Stop arguing with them about the end time. Stop arguing with them about predestination. Stop arguing with unbelievers. They're not going to believe. You know, that's what happened to divers. He said, you know, send Lazarus. I'm down here. Burn it up. No, you ain't going to hear nobody. You didn't hear him when you were here, and your brothers ain't going to hear him either. So you just stay on now and then, burn up. So stop arguing with folk about holy things. And then it says, neither cast thy pearls before the swine. Now, why would you take off your nice pearls and put them in front of a pig? Huh? Why would you take off your nice pearls? And that's what it says. It says, neither cast thou pearls before the swine. You know, they're not going to appreciate it. A pig has no appreciation for finer things. But what this scripture is saying, stop giving holy things and stop putting things of value in front of people that are not holy and people that have no value of what you value. The things that you value, you just need to stop trying to do that to folks because they're not going to appreciate it. But I'm going to tell you this right here. And they're not going to even appreciate you. I don't care how much money you loan. Stop loaning them money. They're going to just give it to them. They ain't going to pay you back no way. Amen. You know them, right? So what Jesus is saying here, there's a way that we have to deal with unbelievers. There's a way that we have to preserve the unbeliever so that we can reach them. There's some kindness that we have to show an unbeliever so we can reach them. They don't want to come around you if you're judging them all the time, if you're putting them down all the time, if you're doing that all the time. This great man was a great evangelist. He went all over the world saving souls. But every time he came home, his son wouldn't even speak to him. He's riding in the car one day. He says, "Son, I'm a great preacher. I go all over the world preaching to people, but when I come home, you won't even talk to me." He said, "Cause Dad, every time I come around you, you ain't doing nothing but talking me down, asking me, have I done this, have I done that?" Why would anybody, hello y'all, why would anybody want to be around anyone who constantly puts them down? Can't you have a decent conversation without putting people down? You know, we got this control thing. We have to put everybody in the box. The box that we are in. If you ain't in my box, then you out of control. But I got to control the whole world around me. And Jesus is saying, this unjust criticism will hurt us all. I just want you to pay attention to this for a minute. Let's look at Revelations chapter 19. Revelations chapter 19, starting at verse 11, you're talking about judging. You're talking about how this world is going to be judged. Before we get to Armageddon, before we get up to Armageddon, we want to look at when Christ comes the second time. And he say, "And I saw heaven open." Hallelujah! I'm going to save my judgment because John say, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sit upon it was called faithful and true, and in righteousness, and he doeth judge and make war." He do judge and make war. "And then his eyes were as flames of fire, and his head there were many crowns, and he had a name that was written that no man knew but he himself." You don't even know that name. And then it says, "And he was clothed with vestures dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, and clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he would tread the winepress with the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture," hallelujah, "he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name that was written that no man had." He had it written. He said, "I'm the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords, and I'm coming back now to put this thing in order." I just want you to know, when you're in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, when you're in Christ Jesus, when your name has been recorded in the Lamb Book of Life, they say there will be no condemnation in those that are in Christ. You are not going to be condemned. You are never going to be condemned. You are never going to be put down. No matter what you've gone through, you will not be condemned. Romans 8 tells us that there is no condemnation in them that are in. Hallelujah. I'm talking about not them that know. Not them that know, but them who are in. In Christ. When you're in Christ, if it starts raining and you're in this building, you're not going to get wet. Hallelujah. Unless there's a leak in the roof and we don't have one. Hallelujah. But when you're in Christ, when you're in Christ, you're not going to be condemned. And if you're not going to be condemned, you bring those unbelievers, you bring those people into the church. And when you bring them in the church, you're not going to condemn them. God has to do that. But God is not going to condemn anyone that's in Christ. Here comes the judge. The judge is coming. And the judge won't be you. The judge will not be you. You know, before I go to my seat, I just have one story to tell you. There was a young man that he was a great swimmer. He saved many lives. in Lake Michigan when he was young. He went to Northwestern. When somebody would be drowning, he would dive in the water and save their life. And he would save them. And one day, he went to law school. Hallelujah. He was already up there at Evanston. So he went on to Northwestern and got him a law degree. Hallelujah. But when he got a law degree, he was a good lawyer, and they made him a judge. Hallelujah. He was sitting on the bench, and this guy came in one day and said, "Oh, I know that judge. Hallelujah. That's the same judge that saved me when I was drowning." And the judge said, "Come on, yeah, I know you know me. But let me tell you, my lifeguard position was when I had another life. I was a lifeguard then. But now I got another life. I'm a judge. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to look at the preponderance of evidence that gets against you. I'm going to weigh it in the balance. And if you come up short," hallelujah, you remember when they were written on the wall, when they weighed in the balance and you come up short, "I'm going to have to judge you according everything that you have done in this body. We'll be judged everything that you have done. God is going to judge it. Everything that's good or bad, God is going to judge it." So now he said, "I'm coming as a judge." He came the first time as Mary's baby. He's not coming back as no baby no more. You heard how he's going to come on that white horse. He's going to come down here and he's going to judge this world based on the thing that we have done. He's a righteous judge. He's going to judge us rightly. Are you ready? I'm not talking about no pig meat mock'em judge. I'm talking about the righteous judge. He's going to judge us in righteousness. He's going to look at two things. How godly were you and how righteous did you perform? See, godly is our relationship to God. Righteousness is what we do because we are godly people. When we are godly people, we will do righteous things. Are y'all out there? If you're godly people, then we will pick up this thing and do the things that's right by humanity. We will do the things that's right by the things of this world. I fear no judgment. When the clouds come open and God come down, I'm a happy person. What about you? I know when I was small and me and my brothers and them, they had act up. My brothers had been so bad and we was waiting for our parents to come home. I could sit on that front porch. I could say, "Come on, Mama. Come on, Daddy. Because I got some things to tell you about Robin." What about you? Are you ready for the righteous judge to come? I'm not talking about how many folk in your family have been preachers. I'm not talking about how many times you've been to church. I'm not talking about you could have lived at this church. But I want to know, are you ready for the righteous judge? If you're not, I just want you to know, you can change. There's still time. There's still time in this dispensation where you can change your destiny. And I'm not talking about no address of no building where you live. I'm talking about, where are you going to spend eternity? Oh, we just got a little time down here on earth. This is short compared to the time that we're going to be in eternity. And the only thing that we're going to be doing there is giving praises. Get used to giving praises, because that's what we're going to be doing every day and every, giving praises to God. Hallelujah. We're going to Shabbat. Are you out there? God is calling you this morning. God is calling you this morning. Are you out there?